الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذا قيل لهم أنفقوا مما رزقكم الله قال الذين كفروا للذين آمنوا أنطعم من لو يشاء الله أطعمه إن أنتم إلا في ضلال مبين. And when it is said to them, spend of that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided you, those who disbelieve say to those who believe, shall we feed those whom if Allah will, he himself would have fed? You are only in the plain error. وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. And they say, when will this promise be fulfilled if you are the truthful? In kuntum sadiqin, if you are the truthful, if you are speaking the truth, then when this qiyamah, when day of judgment is going to take place, you people keep on talking about it, when is going to come? Ma yanzuruna illa sayhatan wahidatan ta'khudhuhum wa hum yakhsimun. Allah Ta'ala says, They await only but a single shout, single scream, single explosive voice, which will seize them while they are disputing. They were quarreling, fighting among themselves, and all of a sudden, this scream, explosive voice will come out, and they all will die same time. فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ تَوْسِيَةً وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. When this when this Yawm al-Qiyamah will take place, when the trumpet will be blown, then they will not be able to make any wasiyah, and nor they will return to their family. They wouldn't have chance to go back to their families or write any will or do some advices or talk to their family, nothing. It will be all of a sudden. As I was saying yesterday, with regard to the sadaqah, they were mocking the kuffar of Makkah when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the sahaba radiallahu anhu used to tell them that you must spend upon the poor people from that wealth which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you. So they used to say, no, why we should feed the hungry? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, when Allah kept them hungry, then if Allah would, he would have feed them. So as I said yesterday, because insan is ashraful makhluqat, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon him or put on his shoulder some extra responsibility to take care of others. And that's why it is the responsibility of the insan, of a human being. So he should have a feeling, he should have that worry and concern about the fellow Muslim or fellow human being, regardless any religion he is following. My brothers and sisters, this, the love of why people don't want to give the charity or donation, why they are stingy and greedy, because the love of wealth is natural. And if love of wealth is so deep in the heart, that if you don't take it out by force, it is very difficult to give any money from your pocket. You naturally doesn't like it. This is why in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ وَالْخَيْلِ الْمُسَوَّمَةِ وَالْأَنْعَامِ وَالْحَرْثِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the list of those material things, worldly things which people love. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ. Number one is the carnal desire for opposite sex. That is the opposite sex. That is the number one destruction of this world. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. The top priority is the woman. And then banin, your children. You love your children so much, you don't want to give anything out of your pocket to help someone else. And then wealth, then gold and silver, then animals and the list goes in on and on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, because naturally a human being has the love for the wealth, and that is very dangerous for him. Because in other place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, innama amwalukum wa awladukum fitna. Allah used the word of fitna, trial and tribulation. Beware, be careful. Your wealth and your children are destruction, a means of fitna and trial and tribulation for you. See? So number one is the wealth, and then our children. So that's why those who want to attain a taqwa, piety, God-fearing, righteousness, pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they always take out the love for wealth from their heart. And those people become successful and righteous if they don't have love for the wealth. And it's required effort. It doesn't just come out without any effort, because naturally a human being loves the wealth. And that is why in one of the hadiths, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned, if a Bani Adam, if insan has one valley full of gold and silver, valley, imagine, not box or trunk or anything, the whole valley full of gold and silver. Can you imagine? He will not satisfy on that. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he will desire to have another valley like that. Like in today's time, if a person is running one shop, nicely his business is doing well, one shop, he doesn't satisfy on that. He wants to open another branch in another location, in another city. And if that branch is started, you know, earning profit and benefit, then he wants to open the third branch, the chain, you know, franchise. So he doesn't stop that, okay, I'm surviving on my one shop and it is sufficient for myself and my family. I should not spend more time on the another branches or things like, I must rather, you know, spend more time towards Akhirah. But no, he wants to open the so many branches in different locations in cities, because this is the greed. This is the love for the wealth. He doesn't satisfy. Rasulullah sallallahu said, only the sand of the grave will fill his mouth and his stomach. Meaning, until he will die and buried, this greed will no end. The greed will be no end. That's why it is encouraged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in so many places in the Holy Quran that yunfiquna mimma razaqnahum. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always saying and reminding us. Remember, this wealth you did not bring from a womb of mother. It is Allah's favor. It is Allah's blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon you this wealth. It's a very great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You must utilize it for yourself, for your family, and rest of the things you must distribute and help others. In the beginning period of Islam, Sahaba came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked, "How, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how much we should spend?" وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَنْفُقُلِ وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ قُلِ الْعَفْ. That was the first beginning command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they are asking how much they must spend. Tell them قُلِ الْعَفْ. Tell them whatever is left over, you should give it away. You know, in today's time, if you think and ponder that whatever you add for, you know, your lunch and dinner, and in the end of the day, in the evening, whatever you have, whatever you possess in the house, don't keep it for next day. Distribute it. Give it away. Kulil af, the whole thing which you left over should be given to the poor and needy people. All the balance, you should not have your saving account, you should give away whatever left over. So that was the initial command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then slowly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has changed the command according to our weaknesses and our habits. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, okay, you can only give 2.5%. The zakat is only farad, 2.5%. Otherwise, upon Bani Israel, the followers of Musa alayhi salam, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was in the Torah 10%. Whatever your income you have after 1 year passed, you have to give the zakat 10%. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reduced the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from 10% to only 2.5%. And still people are not paying zakat. They don't collect correctly. They just give lump sum amount. They don't even calculate it right way. And they just try to save the money as much they can. This is all the love for the wealth. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given the example that love for dunya and love for wealth is just like water. We need water to survive. Without water, we cannot survive. But he said like a ship is floating on top of water. In order that a ship to float, it is required a water. In order to, you know, the ship to sail, it's required water. Without water, we cannot the ship cannot sail. Likewise, for us to have our livelihood, our all needs and necessities of this world, we need the money. Without money, we cannot. But the water should not come into the ship. The moment the water comes inside the ship, then it's dangerous. Then it's going to sink the ship. So likewise, if you have wealth, good enough. This is the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Show your gratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Help the poor and needy people. But if the love of wealth enters and penetrates in your heart, then it's dangerous. Then it's going to sink you in this dunya and you won't have anything in hereafter. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, whatever you have in your hand is going to finish. مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفِدُوا وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ. And this is the ayat of the Holy Quran. That whatever you have in your hands, in your bank account, in your savings account, in your house, that is going to finish. But whatever you give away for sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is reserved. And it will be multiplied and Allah will return you back on the Yawmul Qiyamah. That's for guarantee. So whatever you need for yourself, that you must give away for the hereafter. Hadrat, one of the Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala, I think is Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, he had a lot of animals. So horses especially. He had one khadim, one servant. And whenever guests used to come, he used to command him to slaughter the horse and entertain the guest. So one day, in those days, the horse was jais, it was permissible to eat the meat of the horse. Later on, it became haram. Now we cannot eat the horse of the meat of the horse. Anyway, so then some guests came and he indicated that choose the best one amongst all the horses left over and slaughter it. So the khadim, the servant, was a little hesitated. But anyway, that was the command of a master. He went and he chose the best one, which was very nice, and Hazrat Abu Darda used to like it the most. So he slaughtered it, but he was not feeling good. He came back and he said, after the guest left, he said, sir, I just wanted to ask you, this horse which you ordered me to slaughter was so nice horse, was so good amongst all the horses. This was the best one. You should keep it for your service. You taking part in jihad, you need the fastest running horse. Well, I could have slaughtered any horse and entertained the guest. It wouldn't make any difference. Why you ask me to slaughter the best one? So Hazrat Abu Darda replied very nicely, and this is the point. He said, you know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Holy Quran? لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will not attain a birr, a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until and unless you give away, you sacrifice what you like the most. I know that horse was beloved to me and I like it the most. That is why I commanded you to slaughter it, give it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so I can get back, and I can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can return me back better than that horse which I like. So whatever I like the most, I should sacrifice it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the point. Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayh was very great wali of Allah, and he was a merchant also. He was very rich businessman. So he was giving the dars to his students, And all of a sudden, one disciple came and gave him bad news that your steamer, your ship was coming from the overseas. I heard the news that it is sink. It is drowned in the water. So Hazrat Sheikh just looked to his heart for a while, and then he said, Alhamdulillah. Then after a while, another disciple came, and he gave the good news. He said, no, it was a rumor. It was the wrong news. Your ship is still okay and is coming to the shore and everything is okay. That was a rumor. That was not a correct news. Again, he looked to his heart for a while and then he said, Alhamdulillah. So those students were sitting and observing him. They said, Sheikh, when you heard the bad news, you said Alhamdulillah. And we heard the good news, you still say the Alhamdulillah. So what's the reason and wisdom behind it? He said, when I heard the bad news, I look at to my heart. Is there any bad feeling in my heart? Because the love of this dunya, that my whole ship has been drowned and sunk into the water. But Alhamdulillah, I check my heart. There was no feeling in my heart. Because everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't have love for this dunya. So I check my heart. And on that, I said, Alhamdulillah. I'm not feeling bad about it, that I lost such a great loss. And when I heard good news, again, I checked my heart. Is my heart is boasting or is, you know, is a different feeling inside that Alhamdulillah, I got my ship back. No, but I see my condition of my heart is still the same. It doesn't change. Then I say, Alhamdulillah. Whether I lose, whether I gain, my heart is content. And that is the sign of the true believer. My brothers and sisters, when we help someone, this is also another scenario that most of the time, people like that person to whom they are helping, he must salute him or her and appreciate it. That is very wrong attitude. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, قَوْلٌ مَعْرُفُوا وَمَغْفِرَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِنْ صَدَقَةٍ يَتَبَعُهَا أَذَى. That the good word, قَوْلٌ مَعْرُفُ وَصَدَقَةٌ, and that charity is better, than which have the good word and little charity is better than that amount, that big amount. With that is the bad word, bad feeling is coming. يَتْبَعُهَا أَذَى. Some kind of comment, some kind of sentence which make that person receiver, like humiliation or insult. Sometimes people give, but then they expect from him to gain some appreciation, waiting for the thank. And this is not the case. When you are giving zakat, it is obligatory. You should not expect that, I'm helping him and he's not even thanking me. That is very wrong attitude. Allah doesn't like it. For example, we are praying salat. Salat is obligatory. Do we expect someone to respect us and salute us because I just prayed my salat? No, it was your duty. It was obligatory upon you. So you just did it yourself. You don't expect someone to salute you because you performed salat, or person going for hajj, for example, it is farz upon him. He doesn't expect someone to come and respect him because he's haji now. No, you did your job. It is for your own benefit. Why you expect someone else to respect you? Likewise, zakat is the farz. You just get rid of your zakat and you must thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala made you giver. Yadul ulya khayru min yadi sufla. That giver, the upper hand is better than the lower hand. So that person who is accepting zakat from you, who is less fortunate, you should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You could be in that category. Allah protected you. Allah made your status higher. So when you give someone, we should not even expect anything from him. Anything from you. That's why in Surah Al-Dahr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, وَيُطْعِمُ الْطَعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. That we are giving away to the poor and needy and the prisoner for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are feeding them. إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. We are feeding them, helping them out only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La nuridu minkum jaza'an wala shukura. We are not expecting from you, not demanding from you any jazakallah or any thank or any gratitude or any reward from you people. Because our reward will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever we have done and help you people out for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not expecting any reward or anything from your side. There is a very important incident. I will conclude on that. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha was very, very generous. She used to spend 50,000 dirhams in one day from morning till evening. Hadrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, when he was Khalifa of Sham, Khalifa of Yemen, he used to send and help Hadrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala a lot. So one time he sent her 50,000 dirham for her expense, for the household expense. So she had the list of the poor families in Medina Munawwara. She called her maid and gave the list. Okay, give it this 1,000 to this one, this 1,000 this month to this one. Until evening, all 50,000 is gone, distributed. So, and she was fasting. So that maid came in the evening. She said, if you could have leave little 5-10 dirham, I could have purchased some food for you for your iftar. You distributed all things, 50,000 in one day, morning to evening. She said, it's too late now. You could have asked me little early. I could have left over 5-10 dirham for my iftar, but now it's too late. So that was the generosity of Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. One day he called his nephew, she called her nephew Hazrat Urwa. Hazrat Urwa was the son of Hazrat Zubair. So she said, instructed, give some amount and go to certain old men and don't give this money on, she instructed three things to Urwa. That don't give money in his hand because he will feel bad. If you give someone and he feels inside his own, although he doesn't say, but he feels inside, oh, I'm so poor, so destitute, I have to beg, I have to get money from others. It's kind of humiliation inside. So he said, don't give in his hand, just keep it where he's sleeping or sitting, just keep it over there. So he will take it and use it. Second thing, don't say salam from my side. And don't ask dua. Three things. So, Hazrat Urwa went according to whatever instruction his aunt gave him, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. He did the same thing. But he was wondering, he was puzzled. He did not understand why my aunt instructed me like this. He came back. He said, aunt, can you explain me, please? Why you instructed me not even to greet him from on your behalf, not even ask for dua? Because when we do some good thing to someone, we do some favor to someone, we tell him, oh, please make dua for me and my children and my family, isn't it? If you give someone zakat money or sadqa money or any kind of help, what we say after giving him, please make dua for me and my family. That's a common general habit and custom, right? Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha explained, whatever help I did, financial help and support to that old man, I won't accept any reward from him. If you would have given, that's why number one, I said, don't give it in his hand, because if you give in hands, your hand will be up and his hand will be down, you know, lower. Then he will feel bad about it. So out of respect, put the money by his side. So when we send money to overseas or help to our brothers and sisters, relatives, don't mention this is zakat money or this sadqa money, I'm helping you out, you better appreciate me or salute me. No. Give in such a way, okay, this is the gift, this is for your children, buy some toys for children, something like that. So she or he can feel a little better and they don't feel humiliation or insult. That is number one. That's why I say don't give in his hand, put it in front of him so he will use it whenever he needs. Second thing, if I would have said assalam from Aisha, he would have replied walaikum salam. And walaikum salam itself is the dua. It means I am expecting some dua from him because I helped him. And I don't even want that much from him. I don't even want dua from him. The third thing that I don't ask him the dua, because if I give something and tell him to and make condition that you must make dua to me, it means I'm getting some reward from him. If I wouldn't give him, he wouldn't make dua to me. Right? Because I gave him and I told him to make dua, that's why he is making dua on my request. Why should I have that much of reward from him? La nuridu minkum jaza'an wala shukura. We are not asking any kind of reward, any kind of favor from you, because by helping you, we help ourselves. We need our reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why I said, don't even mention my name. Don't even say, it's unanimous. Someone send you money, just use it. If you would have mentioned my name, he knows me, I am the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he would, you know, feel a little differently, and he would make dua for me. I don't dua for him. My Allah is watching me. My Allah is aware of the condition of my heart. Whatever I do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why I don't expect any ajr, any reward from the makhluk, from the people. This should be our attitude. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us in the position of the givers, we should appreciate it. We should be other side, right? But Allah has granted us some extra wealth. Help them with this condition unanimously, without even mentioning the name, without even mentioning this money is zakat or sadqat. Just give it to it, or buy something, clothing or you know, food or whatever they are in need of, and just help them out. This is what the right thing we should do. This is the holy month of Ramadan. May Allah give us tawfiq for that. Wa akhudahuna. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.